The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. The beginning of the Gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in Isaiah the prophet, "Behold, I am sending my messenger ahead of you. He will prepare your way, a voice of one crying out in the desert, 'Prepare the way of the Lord, make straight his paths.'" John the Baptist appeared in the desert proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. People of the whole Judean countryside and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem were going out to him and were being baptized by him in the Jordan River as they acknowledged their sins. John was clothed in camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist. He fed on locusts and wild honey, and this is what he proclaimed: "One mightier than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop and loosen the thongs of his sandals. I have baptized you with water. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." The Gospel of the Lord. As I was reflecting on the scriptures this week, my imagination was drawn actually to the second reading. Normally, the subject of John the Baptist in the desert, or Isaiah's prophecy of the glory of God's kingdom, the mountain of the Lord, how all of his creation is to be restored, give us really rich reflections of the season. But I think the second reading this week really transports us out of the context and seeming complexities of our daily life and asks us to reconsider what is important. This is a theme that repeats in the presider's prayers that are said at the prayer after communion throughout the season of Advent. "Lord, teach us to use wisely the things of earth and hold firm to the things of heaven. And even now, as we walk amid passing things, teach us by them to love the things of heaven and to hold fast to what endures." And a third, "We give thanks, Almighty God, for these gifts you have bestowed. Graciously awaken in us the desire for those yet to come, that we may welcome the nativity of our Savior and honor it with minds made pure." That word pure, I think I'd like to talk about that a little bit. We're conditioned, I think, when we hear the word pure, to assign to it some kind of moral judgment. It says even it would be like defining the word pure by not impure, right? And I think this was a fixation at the time of Jesus, among the priestly classes especially, and it tends to be the standard today of whether something is a sin or not for a lot of people. But I'm talking more about a purity of intention, a focus, the point where perception is no longer reality, but reality is our perception, a single-mindedness, a kind of simplicity of life. There may be people in your life who are like this. Maybe you are. John the Baptist was. He knew his calling and his gifts, and he focused all his life on that. Remember, his parents were quite elderly when he was born, so he probably soon became an orphan and may have drifted for a while. It happens. It is thought that he was a member of the Essene community in Qumran alongside the Dead Sea for a while. That's where they found the Dead Sea Scrolls. A very strict sect of people who were anticipating the end of the world soon, who focused on physical and spiritual purity with many ritual baths every day. It seems John began to understand this ritual bath of repentance as something that could be shared with everyone. And so he went into the desert. And it says all of Judea and all in Jerusalem were coming out to him, coming out to him. It doesn't say instead of going to the synagogues, but that's what's implied. They were all coming out to John the Baptist in the desert. So it's really no mistake that those in power were not happy about that. And he was killed. But he gave up everything to draw people to God and became the one to identify Jesus when he appeared and was baptized by him. Behold, the Lamb of God. He no longer focused about the ritual baths as such. He recognized that there was more. The book of Isaiah today speaks first about John the Baptist. A voice cries out in the desert, "Prepare the way of the Lord. Then the glory of the Lord will be revealed." And then, speaking about Jesus, "Fear not to cry out and say to the cities of Judah, 'Here is your God.' Here comes with power the Lord God. Here is his reward with him. Like a shepherd, he feeds his flock. In his arms, he gathers the lambs, carrying them in his bosom and leading the ewes with care." Kind of an interesting combination of powerful God and shepherd image. It's as if the writer of Isaiah saw the whole thing centuries before it literally happened. Well, this is what St. Peter wants us to understand in the second reading today. Our hearts and minds must be pure and simple for whatever comes, because the reality is so much beyond whatever we might be able to understand. For God, he says, one day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years like one day. He can't delay his promise because God can't delay. He isn't bound or measured by time. This is an invention of our humanity. We are the ones limited by time and space. But, Peter says, he is perfectly patient, which makes us somehow compatible to who he is. He is waiting. He does not wish that anyone should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Still, the day of the Lord is a real thing, when all that is passing will pass away, dissolved, and the earth and everything done on it will be found out. We will be judged by our actions themselves. So Peter asks, how important are the things we have? How important are the things we do? Since everything is to be dissolved, he asks, what sort of persons ought you to be? Because according to his promise, we await new heavens and a new earth. So while you await these things, be eager to be found without spot or blemish, pure before him, at peace. Seek simplicity, perceive reality. It sounds like a lot, but we are given this season of grace and waiting to discern what is our focus, our intention, our single-mindedness, a place where we can recognize the reality of what God is actually calling us to do. And in that experience of love, our knowing that there is nothing else that is as precious or important. It's why people give up their lives to be priests. It's why people give up their lives to be mothers and fathers. Because in those things we find our life, a new reality. And we find our meaning not in the passing world, but in our life with God, which is eternal.